Today we're going to appreciate, we're going to explore a fundamental chakira. The word chakira, this Hebrew word, choker, lachkor, cheker, right? This is a Hebrew word which has a specific connotation. It means to research, to gain a deeper understanding, to analyze. So when I say I want to present a chakira, it means I want to present an analysis. I want to think about something in categorical, deeper terms. How do I understand this concept? So this is a big element, a significant element of learning, especially of Gemara learning, halacha. And usually when somebody says they want to present you with a chakira, an analysis, usually that has two or more dimensions to it. So you have a problem, and you're going to address that problem from multiple perspectives. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. So to introduce this, there should be Mar Makomos. Where are they? Oh, right there. Great. To do this, we're going to start with a kasha. The difference between a kasha and a shaila is the she'ila. Shaila is... What's that?
A halachic question.
It could be halachic, but it could be any type of question. A shaila is an inquiry for information. I have a shaila for you. What do I do in this circumstance? I have a shaila. How do I understand this pasuk? A kasha comes from the word kashe. Kushya means a contradiction, a challenge. I have one assumption. Now I have a second assumption, and those are competing. These competing values need to be resolved. So this morning, we're going to open not with a shaila, a query. We're going to ask a kasha. It's not our kasha. This kasha comes from the Nemuke Yosef. Ah, the Nemuke Yosef. You open up the back of a big Vilna Shas, and you find the commentary of the Rif, Rav Yitzchak Alfasi. So Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, one of the early Rishonim from Fez, from Morocco, he wrote essentially a kitzer, a miniature version of the Gemara, just giving you the halacha. You're not going to, most people are not going to go through all 2,711 pages of the Gemara. They want to know just what to do. So if you're living in the 12th century, you would get a little booklet from the Rif, Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, the Sefer Halachos. This is what you need to know from the conclusions of the Gemaras. Well, this caused a lot of discussion. What did he say? What did he not say? How did he say it? So there are many super commentaries. So the Rif is a compendium of laws that's summarizing the Gemara, then on the side of the Rif. So I wanted you to understand this better, so I gave you a Xerox copy of my Shas Gemara at home. It's a slightly different version than what you would have bought 100 years ago in Vilna, but it's the same structure of the page. So in the middle of the page is the commentary, or is the work of the Rif. And then on the, in this case, both sides, you see on the top it says Nemuke. Nimuk means rationale of Yosef. This is Rav Yosef ben David Chabiva. He was a student of the person who is usually found in the back of the Gemara commenting on the Rif. That is Rabbeinu Nissim ben Ruvain of Girona. But in Bava Kamma, there is no Resh Nun Ran. There is Nemuke Yosef. Usually there's one commentary on one side and another on the other. It happens to be on this page. It's all Nemuke Yosef. So this is important for you to know if you're searching for, and I want to understand where the context is of this comment of the Nemuke Yosef. It's found in the back of the traditional Vilna Shas. It's a commentary on the Rif. And the Nemuke Yosef, this is in Bava Kamma, where he asks a very fundamental question. This question is pertinent to, I suspect, every person in this room in some way. And in certain ways, certain people in this room, who I'm not going to single out by gender, you will see soon why. Very pertinent, even more pertinent to you on a weekly basis. So this is the background for this kasha. You ready? So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that there is a type of damage called eish. What is eish? Fire. Okay. there are different ways of damage. The first way of damage, let's say, is Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik would be, if God forbid, I came over and I punched you in the nose. Or I tore your beautiful jacket. I damaged you. That's Adam Hamazik. Another category, the opposite category of damage, would be Maman Hamazik. My property damaged you. So let's say my cat wandered off and ate and chewed up the back seat of your car, scratched your car. So it's not Adam Hamazik, that's Maman Hamazik. Two different things. And each of these categories, each of these halachas, has lots of nafkamina. This is the whole beginning of Bava Kama, the different arba avos nezikin. So Gemara wants to know, Eish, the damage of fire, what's the nature of that? So obviously, if I take out a lighter and I come over to your house and I light your house on fire, Lo Aleinu, if I did such a thing, that's not Eish. Why is that not Eish? Why is that not Eish? If I take a torch and light your pants on fire, why is that not Eish?
Because the fire didn't go by itself.
Oh, that's right. The fire didn't go by itself. I was an arson. I lit you on fire. That's Adam Hamazik. Okay? If I literally take a torch and light something on fire, that's Adam Hamazik. I did that. The category of Eish, which is why this is a Shiloh in the Gemara, is I have a backyard barbecue. Lo Aleinu. Somebody has a backyard barbecue. And they're barbecuing, but it's unsupervised. And unfortunately, let's say it's a coal barbecue, and it's in the fall, so there are leaves flying all over in the backyard. And the person is not cautious. So what happens? Some leaf blows into the barbecue grill and catches fire. And then that leaf falls out of the barbecue grill. And now the whole backyard is on fire. And then the next yard, the next guy, my neighbor, his pergola in his backyard now is incinerated.
The intent is different.
So exactly. So the Gemara has a lot of distinctions. It's not just intent, it's that I actually, in the first case, I was an arsonist. I actually lived. The second case, I was just careless. So this is what we call Eish. So the Gemara is a Chakira. It's a Gemara Chakira. Isho, the person's fire, is that Chitzov? Is that the equivalent of an arrow? Because on one end, you could say, it's kind of like my arrow, because the same way with an arrow, I put the arrow in the quiver, and I pull it back, and I let the string go, and that causes the arrow to land over here and do damage over here, but that's a direct response from me. Nobody would say that the arrow was not my Adam Hamazik. Arrows are for sure Adam Hamazik. The same way that even though the arrow killed the person, or guns kill people, but Lamaisa, in Halacha, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Okay, now, if you don't have, this is a whole other discussion, but halachically, you can't say, oh, I didn't do it. The same way the arrows did it, the person did it. Now, of course, when we talk about, danger and other things, gun control is a separate issue, but halachically, if I were to shoot someone, you can't say, oh, the bullet killed the person. I did it. It's my koach. It's my chetz. So isho, my fire, isho is that mishum chitzav? Is that halachically viewed as my arrow? Because I lit the barbecue. The fact that it carried on, okay, that's part of the natural course. So the Gemara actually has a big distinction between if I lit the fire and then a huge gust, an unexpected gust of wind, Ruach She'ina Metsuya versus regular gust. But this is a fundamental question, right? Leaving aside how windy it was. Or the Gemara says, it's not Mishum Chitzav, it's Mishum Mamono. It's as if the same way that if my dog ate your hydrangeas, so it's not Adam Hamazik, it's the Maman Hamazik. So the same thing you're going to say. So this is the Chakir and the Gemara. Okay. So if you see, this is a machlokas between The Gemara says in the middle on the top, Omar Rava, we have a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds Isha Mishum Chitzav. So now go to the arrow. You see the arrow on the right hand side? I'm not going to show off about the fact that I was able to put the arrow on the page with Microsoft Word, but I'm just saying that's a pretty good looking arrow. Just saying. I did that all myself. Ve'i kashalach. Here comes the kasha in the Muki Yosef. Im kein, if we're going to paskin that isho, my fire, the barbecue that got out of control, is mishum chitzov, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it is the extension of me, it's as if I lit the neighbor's house on fire. Hechi sharinan, how do we allow im chashecha, when it gets dark, lahadlik es haneros, to light the candles on Friday afternoon, v'ha-hadlaka, v'hadlakasa holeches, v'nigmeres b'shabbos. How do you allow Friday night candles? If you hold isho mishum chitzav, that means that as the fire is spreading, I'm not there. I'm in my house. The barbecue is burning out of control without my knowledge. But as it's going, it's as if, halachically, isho mishum chitzav, that as the fire goes into the neighbor's yard, it's halachically, oh, the mamazik, it's like I'm, it has the ptur of ish, has certain rules, but it's like I'm actually lighting it on fire. It's an extension of me. So as the fire burns, I'm lighting it. So then, on Friday afternoon, says the Nebuki Yosef, 900 years ago, he asked this kasha. If you're telling me isho mishum chitzav, and you're telling me there's a mitzvah to light candles on Friday afternoon, but the Friday afternoon candles, the light, the fire burns into Shabbos. So you should view it as long as the candles are lit, I am constantly lighting them and lighting them and lighting them because the fire is attributed to the person who lit in the first place. This is the kasha of the Nebuki Yosef. Some of you may have heard this kasha. This is a In the world of learning, they call this the famous kasha of the Nebuki Yosef. Now, usually when a person says that, it's famous because they heard it. Even if nobody else ever heard of it, it's called the famous kasha because... But I think this is, of the things that fit into the famous kasha category, this is more one of the more well-known questions. So, this question of the Nebuki Yosef, he then extends to the same thing about other avodas of burning that they did in the Korban Pesach, in the Korbanos, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Korban Pesach, on Erev Shabbos, the Gemara says, in Masech HaShabbos, how was cooked before Shabbos. Another, it's the same point. So now, the Nebuki Yosef is going to have an answer. And Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is going to have another answer. There are many ways to answer this question. Because this kasha is obviously... It's obviously one that needs to be resolved. It's not a klutz kasha. It's obviously, if you have a mitzvah to do hadlakas neiros, of course there's an answer to this question. But the way that you're going to answer this question is going to express, it's going to help us manifest and understand a fundamental chakira about the nature of Shabbos. This is the goal. What's the Nebuki Yosef's teretz? The Nebuki Yosef, if you go down in that same paragraph, go down about 10 more lines. The first word on the line is lo kashalon. Ki na'ayin b'milsa shaper lo kashalon. The truth is, if we look into it carefully, it's not difficult for us. Shaharei chiyuvo, the obligation to pay if I shoot an arrow and I tear someone's jacket, or if I light a fire and the fire gets out of control and it burns down their house, chiyuvo mishum chitzav kizorek hachetz. It's like shooting an arrow. Shebishah, that at the moment sheyotza hachetz mitachas yado, that the moment that the arrow left my hand, at that moment, ba'osa shah, at that moment, nasa hakol. It's all done. V'lo chashvina le maisa, and we don't consider it an action, d'mikan u'lahaba. It's not a subsequent action. The whole thing is done right now. You front load all the consequences. So if I shoot an arrow, and it takes 45 seconds from the arrow to get from here to there, the moment that I shot it, the entire process that's going to unfold is already front loaded. The chiyuv kicks in right now. That's when it's considered to have been done, because that's when I did the action. I did it right now, and therefore everything that's about to happen later is considered to have already been finished. It just hasn't developed yet. You haven't seen it happen yet. The Gemara, that he brings an interesting logical proof, the Nebuki Yosef. He says, because otherwise you could have argued, if it's going to happen later, what happens? I shoot an arrow, and the Gemara actually discusses this in case of a person who has remorse. I see there's a guy over there who I've had my eye out for them for a while, that I'm going to take him out. So I set up my arrow. They're eating breakfast. I have my metal-tipped quiver, and I'm going to finish with this person. This will be the end of them. And then after I shoot the arrow, I have epis shtikel charata. I decide, you know what? Assassinating that guy was not a nice thing to do on a Sunday morning. But now there's nothing to do. I mean, you can't pull it back. So the Mugi Yosef says, well, are you going to tell me now that it's onus? I'm coerced? What can I do? I can't. It's onus. At this point, right? Onus means act of God. You can't help yourself. It's an insurance term, onus. Right? It's not shogig where it's accidental. At this point, I can't stop it. I would love to stop that arrow, but I can't. I'm not Superman. So Mukhi Yosef says, obviously, there's no onus that you can't take it back. So it's all front-loaded. Go to the second to last line of this long paragraph. V'chein adin yelin yin Shabbos. D'chi aschil me'erev Shabbos. When you began lighting the candles on Friday, aschil, it's already started. U'keman da'agmarei biyadayim. It's as if you finished it. Gomar, agmarei biyadayim, with your hands. Bahu idna, at that moment. D'lespe yisr chashiv. That's it. So you know why you light Friday night Shabbos candles? Because on Friday afternoon, when you light the candles, you have, so to speak, done all of the lighting and all of the burning, the entire malacha, it's all done in that moment. It looks like it's continuing to burn later, but halachically, it's already all done on Friday afternoon. This is answer number one. This is Nebuki Yosef himself. This is his answer. I heard from Rav Shachter Shalita a different answer in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. I heard this from him more than once. I hope I'm remembering it correctly. He said that the Rav gave a different answer. The Rav said, the reason why this is not a problem is because by definition, what's happening on Shabbos? You light the candles Friday night, right? You know, 20 minutes before, 18 minutes before, hopefully. Maybe it's one of those days, maybe it's 2 minutes before. You get it done in time. It's before nightfall. But when it comes Shkia or Tosefes, you're not doing anything. You're totally, what we call in halacha, Sheva Al Tase. You're totally passive. So Rav says, there's a principle. You cannot violate a malacha b'sheva al tasa. Only in the realm of derabbanans, of rabbinic restrictions, can we introduce a distinction between a rabbinic restriction which is active and a rabbinic restriction which is passive. Two different realms. But when it comes to a malacha de oraisa, like havara, like burning, so Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik that there's no such thing as a malacha b'sheva al tase. Two answers for the Nebuki Yosef. Hear this? What is the distinction, the fundamental distinction between these two answers? It is a very important chakira in the world of Hilchos Shabbos. Is Shabbos, the Shvisa, the rest, the Yisr Malacha, is this an objective reality? That the world needs to be at rest? Or is it subjective? It's that I, as a person, I can't do Malacha. I need to be at rest. But if Malacha is happening, who cares? According to the Nebuki Yosef, what does it sound like? According to the Nebuki Yosef, both in the question and in the answer, if malacha is happening in the world on Shabbos, That's a problem. That's an objective problem. So what does the Mukhi Yosef do to avoid this problem? Oh, al pi halacha, we're going to consider it that the malacha was all done before Shabbos. And the fact that you see that it's burning on Shabbos, that's not really halachic. If you're a halachic man wearing halachic goggles, it doesn't look like there's malacha happening right now because you front-loaded from before. But Lu Yitzur, you couldn't do that. Mukhi Yosef would say, it's a problem. Because objectively, there's malacha happening on Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik, his answer presupposes a totally different understanding. For Rav Soloveitchik, we don't care that malacha is happening in the world. As long as I'm not doing malacha, that's not a problem. You hear the distinction? You hear the chakira? Is Shabbos a din in the world that the world needs to rest? Or is it din in me? Yeah.
Don't the candles have to burn for a certain amount of time on Shabbos?
So they are supposed to be illuminating your home on Shabbos so that you have a beautiful shalom bayis where you're eating without, like, you know, not knowing what you're eating. And also a second reason that you shouldn't bump into stuff. So it's true, it needs to be illuminating on Shabbos, but halachically we consider, according to the Mukhi Yosef, that all that malacha is done before Shabbos. Because it can't be that malacha is happening on Shabbos because of you. So you could start thinking already now, a lot of ramifications of this question, a ton. Look at this fascinating origin of this issue, potentially. Turn to the next page. This is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Ein Gimel. This is a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. This also, I wanted to get a little bit of a flavor. This is, when I was in 11th grade, which was my last year of high school, with Rabbi Rottenberg, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Baltimore. He was our Rebbe in 11th grade. So this was the copy of my Gemara from 11th grade, which is why you see the little translations written in there. So it's not from yesterday, but it's from 11th grade.
Did he have the arrow in it too?
So no, but I put in the fancy arrow so you would see where we are. So Gemara says like this. The Mishnah says, it took us till the 7th parak to get to the 39 categories of work, which we could talk about not today, but Mirtz Hashem, you know, there's more to talk about this. Avos Malachos, the main categories of work, are Boim Chasar Achas. They are 40 minus 1. There's a lot to say about that too. What does it say in the Mishnah? Ha Zorea, the one who plants. Ve Ha Choresh, and the plower. Ve Ha Kotzer, and the... See, if you'll see, and I don't know if you can read it, my tiny 11th grade handwriting, the word under Ha Kotzer says... Anybody can read that? It's mistranslated. Yeah, thank you, Sima. It says reaping. It's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Ha Kotzer, the one who harvests. Now that mistranslation is going to be important. Because if you keep look through the Mishnah, Ha Ma'amer, Ha Dosh, Ha Zora, Ha Borer, Ha Tochin, Ha Marakid, the one who does this, and the one who does this, and the one who does this. That's how the Mishnah says it. We'll turn the page. So the Rambam, in Perek Zion, the 7th chapter, just like it appears in the 7th chapter in Shabbos, it appears in the 7th chapter in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. Look what the Rambam writes. Malachos shechayovin aleihen skila, the main categories of work which, God forbid, if a person violated them intentionally, they would be punished with skila, vikares, vimezid, if they did it without appropriate warning, they would get kares lo aleinu, or a carbon chatas if they violated bishgaga unintentionally. Mehen avos, there are some that are main categories. Mehen told us there are some which are derivatives. Umeyin kal avos malachos arboim chasachas. The cumulative number of these is 40 minus 1. The Elohim. Ha Charisha, veha Kitsira, veha Imur, veha Disha, veha Breira. The plowing, the planting, the Right? The ing, all the ings. So the Rambam is not the same as the Mishnah. So many Achronim, they pick up on this. What's the impression that you get from the Mishnah? Oh! In the Mishnah, it sounds like the second side of our Chakira, the second half, that it's a din in the Gavra, that it's the person. Ha Kotser! Ha Ma'amer, the person who does it. Whereas for the Rambam, what does it sound like? Ktsira! The fact that separating is happening, the fact that there is trapping happening. Subtle, but this reflects the nature of this Chakira. We take it further. You see on the bottom of your page, in source number 4, you see the picture of an ohel. This is a kever. It's found in the Jewish cemetery in Vienna. I was super excited for this year, this morning, because the opportunity to mention the name of a tzaddik, of someone of this level, that I don't know that we ever quoted him in all the years in our shiur, maybe we did, but this is super exciting. The man who's buried in this ohel, you see on the top, Harav Hagon Hakadosh Mofis Hador. He was the Av Bezdin of Kehila Kadosh of Krakow. Moreno Rabbeinu Harav Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel was born in Galicia in the 1858 or 1859 in Galicia in Tarnov, which is one other reason why I want to mention, because anytime I can mention a going from Galicia, it makes me feel good about our heritage. But he was known as a prodigious genius, an Ilui Shebi Iluyim, Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote almost 100 published works. He was a phenomenal, phenomenal genius. His works are so encyclopedic. It's jaw-dropping. Jaw-dropping. He also is, interestingly, he's very conceptually oriented in that he wants to understand chakiras. He wants to understand the conceptual frameworks of things, principles. So he's able to marshal all of his genius and then leverage that to analyzing fundamental questions. It's amazing. The first time I was exposed to Rav Yosef Engel, there was a man, and I'll mention him, since Neshama should have an aliyah. There was a man when I was in YU whose name was Rabbi Yosef Winevsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So he was a big Talmud Chacham. He never married, had no children, and he was a Sagi Nahar. He was blind. So he used to sit in the library in the Beis Medrash, and guys would learn with him. I was a kid, I didn't learn with him, I wasn't knowledgeable enough, I wasn't on the inner circle. But once I had the privilege to take Rabbi Winevsky to lunch, because guys would take turns. So we'd take him across the street to what was called then Time Out Pizza, and now it's called something else. It's the same pizza shop and the same, various, I don't want to be malshin about the various creatures that lived in that pizza shop at that time, but Mistama, by now they're all gone. Maybe they're Einiklich are running around there. So Rabbi Winevsky, Zichron Levracha, he loved Rabbi Yosef Engel. And he always talked about Rabbi Yosef Engel's Shtiklich Torah. So when he passed away, one of the big Talmidei Chachamim in YU is now one of the Rashi Yeshiva. He's a little older than me, Rabbi Daniel Feldman. They published a sefer in memory of Rabbi Winevsky as a memorial volume. It's called Ksones Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef Engel and Rabbi Winevsky had the same name, Yosef. And in the beginning, it's a bunch of Chidushei Torah about Rabbi Winevsky, a bunch of Chidushei Torah that he said over, and then a bunch of Chidushei Torah analyzing the insights of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel was an unbelievable genius. In the world of Gemara learning and Halacha, he's just a lightning rod. So when he talks about something, you know he's going to bring like a caravan of sources. So if Yosef Engel discusses this issue, he quotes Achronim, if anybody ever said anything about this topic, he's going to quote it. So the Heiliger of Yosef Engel, he says, I want to talk about this topic. The context of this is a very, very fascinating Chakira. You see, it's on the left side. This is from one of his Sfarim called Asvin de Oraisa. Klal Yud. He wrote like a kind of encyclopedic works also, where like Aleph Beis, he wrote like, I think it was tons. Amazing. Bo Yivur, I want to talk about Mao Isser Chefza, Umao Isser Gavra. He wants to talk about what's the difference. Is there a distinction? How do we analyze? What's a chakira between an Isser in the Chefza, in the item, or is something an Isser in the Gavra? So, for example, chametz. Is chametz inherently problematic? Or is it that chametz is fine, it's just that I'm not allowed to ingest chametz? Okay, this is very similar to the question that we're asking. Is there an inherent isser for malacha to be done on Shabbos? Or is it that I'm not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos? So what's the first test case that he talks about? Shabbos, exactly our issue. So later in the piece, he quotes this distinction between the Gemara's lashon of how to violate a malacha, hakutzer, hama'amer, and the Rambam, haktzira, habitzira. So you have a really interesting set of sources pitting one against the other in the context of Shabbos for us. So he quotes a Yerushalmi. He says, maybe, hachronim zal b'sifreim herichu b'chidosh svara, many later authorities discuss the idea, to call isurim zmaniim, all prohibitions that are time-bound, ki isur asiyas malacha b'shabbos v'yantif, like the isra of doing malacha on Shabbos and Yantav, v'chadome, and similarly, ach isurei gavrahim. They're only restrictions on the person. Meaning, today it's mutter to drive a car. So the fact that it was also to drive a car, how could it be that there is an inherent isur in the car being driven? Because today, it's not usur. So it must be that there's nothing inherent about the car being driven, which is a problem. It must be that it's my isur to drive the car on Shabbos. It's about the Gavra. He says, that's what many people say. And they have a raya. He wants to bring a raya. V'diku lam Yerushalmi. And the Gemara says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Perika Oreg, to Machalik Bein. Here's an interesting raya. You see where we are now on the fifth line. Bein Matzah Gzula. If I stole matzah and I ate it on the night of Pesach, De'in Yotze Yudecho Vaso, that I can't fulfill my mitzvah. If I stole matzah, lo aleinu, I ate it, I did not fulfill my mitzvah of matzah. Because that matzah is labeled as stolen goods. You cannot be yotze your mitzvah with stolen goods. So it says that's one case. But let's say, God forbid, a person loses a close relative, so they have a chiyuv of kriya. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, the achronim, they bring a raya, lekorea b'shabbos diyotze yedei kriya. Ideally, a person should not violate a malacha on Shabbos for any reason, like if a person loses a close relative, they rip kriya. If they rip kriya on Shabbos, which they should not do, they don't have to rip kriya again. He says, wait a second. What's the difference between stolen matzah, say these achronim, and the kriya that happened on Shabbos? What's the difference? So if you understand that Shabbos is subjective, it's an isser in the gavra, so that means the person shouldn't have done the kriya. True, they shouldn't have done that. But lamaisa, once it was done, the kriya is done. And that the kriya itself is not a cheftza shel iser. As opposed to the matzah, the theft in the matzah transforms into a cheftza shel iser. So this is the raya that some achronim bring, says Rav Yosef Engel, to prove that Shabbos is about you. It's the in the gavra. It's a din in the gavra. He says, but I'll bring you a proof the other way. You ready for this? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. Next line. You see, after the akal, ayin chaf lamed is ad kan lashonam. Until now is what they think. Now, lamed ayin nun dalad nun is la'anias daiti nira. To the, my eyes, it seems, what I think, not so fast. Tahashas didan, that our Gemara, chulik ala klal hazeh, disputes this principle. Why? Great raya. Tibis Shabbos, says in Shabbos in Brachos Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Isa, it says, you ready for this? And this halacha lemaisa, you should be aware of this. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Diner shehidliku akum b'Shabbos. If a non-Jew lit a candle for you on Shabbos. Could happen. Let's say my grandmother, Aleh HaShalom, says when she was living in Cleveland, at the end she needed help in the house. So there was a woman, her name was Claudette, and so she lived in the house, and she helped out my grandmother with all the things, you know? So what would happen if Claudette, the Nachris, she lit a candle on Shabbos, and now it's lit on Saturday night? So you say, perfect, I'm going to recite Borei Meroesh on that candle that's already lit. Great. So Gemara says in Brachos, you cannot do that. Why not? So Gemara says, Asur levarich olav motzei Shabbos mipnei shelo shavas mimeleches aveira. Because it did not rest from the malacha of an aveira. Wait a minute. This woman, Claudette, she's not Jewish. Adraba, if she tried to observe Shabbos fully, we would say that that's a violation of the din. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Nochem are not allowed to observe Shabbos. So how could you say, oh, you know why you can't use this candle? Because it didn't rest on Shabbos. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, what do you see from this? Is the Shabbos a din in the Gavra? Is it subjective to the person? Or is it din objectively that there shouldn't be malacha happening in the world? So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, it sounds from this like it's an objective reality. Because if it's about subjective, the person who did the malacha didn't violate anything. They didn't do anything wrong. What do you mean, lo shavas mebelechas aveira? That person's not mitzuvah. It must be that it's a universal din. Fascinating. This goes even further. This is the 19th century. Some of you are familiar, there was a great gaon, and you know there's an expression, jack of all trades, master of none. But there are some people who are jack of all trades and master of all. So one man who was like this was Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Rav Zevin, I think he died in the early 1980s, I think. He was the editor, the founder of the Encyclopedia Talmudit. At the same time, he was a Chabad Chassid, who was the author of the Sipurei Tzadikim on the Parsha and on the Moadim. He was a very, very exceptionally brilliant and broad person. He used to write...
It's in our library.
We have it in the library. He used to write for the newspaper. He used to write halachic book reviews. When new svarim would come out, he would devour them and write a book review, a halachic book review. And then he wrote comparisons of this style of limud and that style of limud. Tremendous, tremendous gaon. So he has a beautiful sefer called Le'or HaHalacha, where he asks this same question. He says, what's the nature of Shabbos? Is this a din objectively in the world that there shouldn't be any malacha happening? Or is it din subjectively? You. He likes he quotes both opinions. He likes the idea that Shabbos is objective. He brings a few rayas to his approach. The Gemara has a really interesting din. The Gemara says, let's say, Bert, can you help me with this? You don't have to go anywhere. Can we all work on this together?
Sure.
Okay. So there is a din called Hotsa'a. Carrying from one place to another. You have to do, you have to do an Akira and Rosh Hashayata. You have to pick it up. You have to take it out to Rosh Hashayata and you have to put it down. So Gemara has the following din, Shabbos and Daf Dalet. Let's say, Bert and I, we pick up, you could say right there, we're going to pick up this bench. Imagine it's one long bench. We're going to pick it up together. We're going to carry it out into Rosh Hashanah. We do an Akira in Rosh Hashanah. We're going to carry it together. We're going to put it down in Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara says, okay, you did the malacha of Hotzah. You're chayev. But let's say Bert, he has a hat. You can pick up the hat for a second. You picked it up by yourself, right? You don't need me to help you pick up the hat. You're capable of picking up the hat by yourself.
I'm this morning.
Good. So if I hold the hat together with him, and we both take it out. Some of you are familiar with this din. If we carry it out together, we're not chayiv. Shnayim shel tziua, two people who carried out the hat, you're not chayiv.
That's deraisa.
That's din deraisa, yeah. So the Gemara says, why not? Why not? The Gemara has a lashon. Vaha, behold, is avid malacha mi beinayu. Between the two of us, a malacha was done. So the Gemara has to quote a pasuk, a drasha, ba'asosa, that when it comes to this din of karis, for Shabbos, ha'osa es kula, you have to do the whole thing, v'lo ha'osa miktasa. If it's something that you could have done by yourself, if you do it yourself, you're chayav, but if I help you, we're both pater. So what do you get from that, Gemara? Using our thinking caps with our chakira, is Shabbos an objective din in the world that malacha should not be accomplished, or is it a din in the gavra? So what do you think?
Yes.
Which one? Which one? Why is it in the gavra? What does Rav Zevin want to say? What do you see from this din? I need Xeris HaKasav to tell you that two people, I only did half a malacha. I only carried half of the hat. He carried the other half. We're carrying it together. The Lashon HaGemara was, Is'aven malacha mi beinayu. And malacha emerged from between us. Can you say that I did a malacha? No, I didn't do a malacha. I only helped. Did he do a malacha? He only helped. So if you look at the Havamina of the Gemara, so the Gemara's Havamina assumes that since between us a malacha was done, that should have been a problem. So that sounds like an objective problem. Comes along the conclusion of the Gemara is that I have to do it. So if you're going to bring a raya from the Havamina, so then it sounds like it's more objective. If you're going to say the conclusion is I have to do the malacha, so maybe the conclusion of the Gemara is actually teaching the opposite of Rav Zevin, and that is that it's a din in the gavra. The Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara toward the end of Chulin, Kuf Tesvav, the Gemara says in Chulin, you know, basar b'chalav is prohibited. The Gemara has a havamina, maybe just like basar b'chalav is prohibited, maybe if somebody does malacha on Shabbos, that which was created should be asur. So Gemara has a gzeres hakasav to tell you, no, it's not asur, minatorah. Midrabana, it's a problem, but not minatorah. He says, how could you compare Shabbos to basar b'chalav? Basar b'chalav, the food itself is prohibited, but Shabbos, is the action prohibited, or am I? So he says, it must be that it's the action that's prohibited. I'll give you one more nafkamina before we wrap up. This is a much longer discussion, but you know that you're not allowed to ask, in normal circumstances, you're not allowed to ask a nachri to do malacha on your behalf on Shabbos. So why is that? Good, excellent. What about asking the nachri on Erev Shabbos? That's also a problem, to ask the nachri on Erev Shabbos. So wait a second. Why should it be usher to ask a nachri on Erev Shabbos to do malacha on Shabbos?
That's on Wednesday.
Yeah, why should that be a problem?
They are the era.
Oh! So if you understand that the issue of Amir al-Nachri is like an arrow, that it's like shlichus, that the person is the agent and they are the extension of me, so you're going to say shlucho shaladam kamoso. But not everybody says that it's based on shlichus la'akam l'chumra. You are alluding to the tshuva l'chasam sofer, you know, Karen knows the tshuva l'chasam, don't have to show off in front of everybody. Okay. But it's true. This Chasam Sofer is in Chelek Aleph, and Orchaim Chelek Aleph Simon Pei Dalet, who raises this issue. So some talk about the idea of Shlichus. Others say, no, it doesn't have to do with Shlichus. There's an interesting Mechilta. The Mechilta says, Kol Malacha lo ye'yaseh bohem, lo saseh ata, v'lo saseh chavercha, v'lo ye'yaseh nachri malachtecha. So depending, there's a huge discussion about this issue. The Rambam quotes a different answer. The Rambam says, you know why you shouldn't do Amir la'akam on Shabbos? Shelo shei, shelo Shabbos, that Shabbos shouldn't be zilzal. That all you're going to have is you're going to have employees running around doing all the work for you on Shabbos. That's not proper. So this issue, which we don't have time to unpack today, is exactly this question. The extent to which the scope of the Isser and the source of the Isser of Amir La'akam on Shabbos will depend on this issue. If you think that the Isser of Shabbos is objective, that stuff should rest today on Shabbos, then of course the Nachri shouldn't be doing malacha because of you, because you're creating, you're generating more work in the world. But if you think that Shabbos is subjective, that it's about you doing rest, So then you have a hard time figuring out why you shouldn't ask a Nachri. So maybe it should be, you know what, it's not right that Carlos should come to your house and do all the things for you. So that's not Shabbastik. That's what it sounds like for the Rambam. But Be'etzem, you didn't do anything wrong. Why not? Because you didn't do any Malach on Shabbos. This question keeps coming up. So I'll conclude with one nafgamina of this Chakira. And this happens to many, many of us, especially in family situations. You have a grandmother, like I used to have, Neshama should have an aliyah. My grandmother, my father's mother. No, my grandfather passed away before my bar mitzvah. But my grandmother, she lived in Yerushalayim until just a couple years ago. So my grandmother lives in Yerushalayim, and I'm living in Skokie. Can I call her on the telephone on Friday and leave a message on her machine on Friday night? Why is this a good nafkamina of this chakira? If Shabbos is about an objective standard that the world should be at rest in the Kiddush of Shabbos, so do you think it's appropriate that I should leave a voicemail on her answering machine when it's Shabbos in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh? What do you think?
Moreover, should be listening to it.
Oh, listening is good. Listening is the second question. But just leaving it. What do you think? But if you think that Shabbos is about me, the Gavra, the subjective person doing the Malacha, when I did the Malacha, is there any Malacha happening? Not at all. So who asked this Shaila? Rav Lau Shlita. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel, he has a set of tshuvas called Yachel Yisrael. And this tshuva is about fax machines. Today you're going to make this tshuva about email, text messages, WhatsApps, but this tshuva was when fax machines came out. So the Shailas were, can I send a fax on Israel on Saturday night to America where the fax is going to be, remember that old thing situation, remember that? In antiquity when people used fax machines? So I have a fax machine in America and the guy in Israel is sending the fax on Motzoi Shabbos. So Rav Lau goes through the whole Shtickel Torah that we're talking about. It's on the last page, on page number 5. So first he talks about Shlichus. Then he talks about the Yisra of Chametz. This is a similar related question. If I'm living in Skokie, but I have Chametz in a storage unit in Hawaii, and it's Pesach in one place, the Chametz is a different place, where do you go for the Mechiras Chametz, for Yisra Bal Yerol Bal Yimotzei? These are all same kind of questions. So look on the left side. Ha'ole, turns out, Midvarm Elu, the bottom line, left side after the three stars, Sheladasa Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, Mutar Lasos Malacha B'makam Heter, it is permitted to do Malacha in a Makam of Heter, Af Shetotzas HaMalacha Hu B'makam Iser. Even though the consequences of this are going to be in a Makam Iser. So we're not going to go through all the technicalities of this, and he does discuss the fact that there would be several halachic issues with reading the facts on Shabbos, where you are. Let's say you're in the Isser department, you're in Israel, and the facts is coming through on Friday night, there are going to be serious halachic issues with you reading the facts, because the facts spits it out where you are on Shabbos. But for the sender, you know, you're... Your kid is in Israel, your grandmother's in Israel, someone's in Israel, and the leaving the voice noter on WhatsApp, the voice noter, for them, it's not Shabbos. Memela, it's mutter to send a voice note to the people on Shabbos. But the Nakuda comes back to the same issue. What's the Chakira? The Chakira is Shabbos an inyan, is the purpose of the Yisra Malacha, that the whole world should be at rest? That when the Kedush of Shabbos, the sanctity of Shabbos, it descends on the world, everything should cease? Or no? The Chiddush is that even though the world is normal, so to speak, on the outside, we are the ones who create the sanctity of Shabbos with our personal Shvisa. This is the Chakira. And you could think about many, many other nafkaminas like this, maybe related to timers, of things that are happening on Shabbos and other kinds of issues. But this is a classic example of the Rabbi Yosef Engel, that Shaila that's going to come up in Halacha. We can apply this in other areas, but certainly in this context of Shabbos, it's worth analyzing from a halachic standpoint.